Well,
he's vaguely underground.
Hank Mackey gave me a cassette of his playing, which just totally blew my mind. And about 19, either late 74 or 75, right around 75. And then I went to Los Angeles. I went to California, and then I wound up in Los Angeles for a few weeks studying with Ronnie Eshday and hanging out. And then Hank calls me and says, Lenny Bro moved to Nashville, and he's given lessons. Because he was very elusive, and nobody knew where he was. He's in Canada. He's like a gypsy, right?
Yeah.
So when I found out that, I got in my little truck and went to Nashville and hung out for a week with him. And
so, and let me see. It seems to me, like, you know, at the point where I got here, you know, 20 years ago, and I met you pretty early on, but it seems like very quickly after a few years, I noticed that there seemed to be a sort of small scene of guitar players here I can't tell, you know, maybe you and Steve and Cranston and these guys that are like, although it's different information that you have in there, it seems like it's coming from a certain kind of experience or early experience or learning experience that has to do with Hank. Is this the case?
Yeah, Hank. Hank was definitely the guy who set the tone, man.
Uh-huh.
Not literally the tone, you know what I mean? Just he had this way of teaching theory, and he knew so much about so many different kinds of music. I mean, he studied and got his degree in classical. He loves jazz. He's mainly a jazz player. But he knew how to play like Chet, you know, and he could teach reading. I mean, he was just the most thorough teacher anybody could ever have. I tell people you can learn more with Hank in 1 month than you can learn with anybody else in a year.
And how were you all coming across him? I mean, he wasn't playing music out and stuff.
It was a word, you know, the word gets around. And then I was jamming with this guy who was actually studying with him. And I was into the Chet thing, and I couldn't figure out how Chet was doing a lot of the stuff he was doing. I couldn't hear
Chet Atkins.
Yeah, Chet Atkins.
Right.
So, yeah, I got on the Atkins diet early. And then Hank explained a lot about Chet, and that led me into, he wrote me into jazz.
What was Hank's
It was Atkins? Like a drug.
How did Hank get
studied with Roger Filiberto, who was like the main teacher in the old days,
yeah,
in the 50s and 60s, and he took over his studio. But Roger Filiberto was he was a cat.
Uh-huh.
He could play chord solos, you know. He knew Tony Mottola, and
so were you primarily interested in how to really sit down and play solo at that time? Or, I mean, you have a very expansive way about music. I mean, you're into all kinds of stuff, but I'm just wondering why you're making, you know, it's interesting to me why an artist makes certain kind, especially one that has that kind of ability, makes certain kinds of choices that are along the line to work in certain directions, because you could have gone a lot of them.
the easy and cheap answer right here was probably I can call rehearsal whenever I want.
Okay.
And I was thinking, you know, I love playing solo, I love chord solos. Ted Green's another one who really inspired me just to play alone. And as far as getting a band together, I didn't really consider myself to be a jazz player, you know, and I wasn't into rock, you know, but I had, you know, I loved rock and roll when I was a teenager, and, you know, Beatles and stuff like that, but I couldn't see myself actually having a band and getting gigs around town. So I started doing a lot of solo stuff and getting more gigs like that. And, you know, and I played in wedding bands and, you know, other stuff like that, and backing up singers, you know, played with Lil Queenie for a while. But the solo thing, just, it's what I put more time into, and it's what I feel more.